Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone for tuning in. This is Nuanc Radio, where we come together every week in question and answer form to deal with our brothers and sisters on an intellectual level, on a spiritual level, as we remember the greatness that we are. We strive to do, we strive to honor our great ancestors in everything that we do. I am Brother Haru, and I'm going to open up the line for my brother. Brother Keita, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's good, fam?
Doing my best.
Best one can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How did the lecture go, bro?
Smash, man. That cat that was there, that was like, they was like just tripping on how well, I mean, just the information that came to them. It was I was hearing adjectives like amazing. Oh, my God. When you coming back?
Yeah.
It was good. It was real good. I mean, yeah, I had some real heavy hitters in the audience. So, you know, to hear those cats say that, you know, as well as, you know, one sister was like, you know, normally I don't come and stay throughout the whole election, like, but, you know, I couldn't leave.
Wow.
So it was real powerful. I mean, some cat came from Columbus. Another person was from Kanye's, you know, so they came from different places just to hear little old me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yep. it ain't little old you, and what I'm starting to see is that, you know, brothers and sisters now, they moving towards the real information. And, you know, a lot of the artificial stuff and a lot of the redundancy, you know, people are really moving towards the real information, and I could tell just by the different questions that are being asked, you know, the questions that are being asked now are not the typical, you know, questions that you get for people that are just coming into the walk. Like, it's really, like, more complex, and it's not stuff that's just about, you know, ancient Egypt or whatever. People are asked questions about, you know, just all kinds of things. So, you know, that just lets me know that, you know, things are shifting for us, you know.
Yep, that's good, man. That's real good. That's real good. Like we had talked about, you know, this is that cycle. This is that time where that information is going to be abundant and everybody's going to be talking about it, you know. All you're doing is bearing witness to that fact.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the old man saying that, you know, they had to put forth an era of lies, you know, to stop what he was doing. And I see now how that era of lies is truthfully ending, you know, based on the level of questioning, because the level of questioning is, you know, really going into sound right reason. It's really, you know, expanding upon just the surface level of everything, you know. Like, people are asking, okay, why Sarah always had white on, or, you know, different stuff like that. Why I said, you know, why this is on her head, you know what I mean? Like, they asking them kind of questions now, so it's not just about the question about the deities, but it's actually going more in depth, you know. And even when people are asking me biblical questions, they ask him, you know, what this story was really about, what that story was really about, you know. Things are definitely changing.
Yep, that's good. That's real good to hear. Good to hear.
When truth arrives, all false things must perish.
They better.
Yeah. Yeah, to the family that's listening, the chat room is open. So if you're listening online and you have any questions that you want to ask in the chat room, you can. And for the family that's new to this call, if you want to come on and ask a question, or you just want to add to the conversation, or you just want to, you know, speak to us, you simply press 1. That will put you in the question queue, and then we can bring you on. Okay. Do you have anything in particular that you want to talk about from the lecture, bro?
Nah, a lot of what I talked about in the lecture was visual, so it would have to be where I would have to show people what I'm talking about for them to get a full understanding of what I'm saying. So it wouldn't do justice to what I just got through talking about.
Okay. All right. One of the questions that a brother asked me, I want you to go in and explain to the family, is that he was talking about the building of Solomon's temple in the biblical story, and we know Solomon's temple is the human body, but he started asking questions like why they always talk about cubits, and you know, I wanted you to explain that and what all that meant as far as the construction of Solomon's temple, things of that nature.
Okay, a cubit is normally 18 inches. Now, that should tell you right off where I'm going.
Right.
You know what I mean? So a cubit is a yard and a half, so 18 inches. So when they was talking about using cubits to build these different structures, the structures were always the human body, and the cubit, of course, is the spinal column, so which is 18
right.
inches in width. So when they talked
right.
about using cubits, that's all it was using the measurement of a man. You know, because when they built Solomon's
right.
temple, as you read in 1 Kings 6, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, chapter 7 talks about how there was no sound, no hammers, no iron used to build the temple. And then verse 8 talks about how he went up the winding staircase, and they went up and went over to the right side, and there they landed at the third heaven. It just says the third, really. So what that's talking about is the third ventricle that's in the brain. The third ventricle is right in the area where the hippocampus, the amygdala, the pineal gland, the pituitary, the thalamus, or the Amun's horn is. So whenever he talks about the third, he's talking about the third heaven. So when Paul talked about the third heaven, he's talking about the third ventricle in the brain, which there are a total of 4 ventricles. The 4th ventricle is where the medulla oblongata area is, in the base of the neck, or, you know, base of the brain. And the other 2 are up around where the cerebral is, or the cerebrum is. So that 1 Kings chapter 6, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 is talking about that creation of that the human body, because as we know in 1 Kings chapter 10 talks about when the Queen of Sheba brought Solomon 666 talents of gold. And we know that 666 is the multiple, or is 18, which again goes back into the spinal column. And, you know,
right.
she came from the south and went up to the north and brought the north, and brought the gold to the north because she was looking for the wisdom, and we know the wisdom is where the knowledge is, and the knowledge is where the owl is, and that's in the head. So
right.
That's about, you know, I don't know how much further he would want that broken down. You know, when you look up a cubit, they'll say it's between 18 to 24 inches, but it's really 18 inches.
Right.
Because it's dealing with the human,
right.
it's dealing with the human body. And so the Egyptians, when they built the pyramids, they used cubits as well. And that's where the
right.
The Bible writers got it from, what a cubit was.
So, right.
I don't know what else he
want
in that.
I think that's good. Listen, I don't know what happened with this show. It's saying that we only got 15 minutes. And what's interesting about this is that when you set up these calls, the shortest amount you could do it for is 30 minutes. So if this thing cuts off, we can, to the family that's listening, if it cuts off, I'll just restart another one. Hopefully it won't cut off, though. It'll allow us to continue to go. Everybody's still there, right? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, all right. So I don't know what's going on, why I did that today, but it just said that the stream was over, so I don't know. But yeah, you know, and that's what, you know, the most important thing I wanted to talk about was the 666, because in the book of Revelations, when it talks about 666, it says that it's the number of a man. You know, and you know, brothers, you know, are trying to let go of all that stuff they programmed us with. So, you know.
Well,
you
it calls, you know what I'm saying, and also the number of the beast, you know what I mean? So it gives both of them, you know what I mean? 666 is also the number of the beast.
Right.
So we just got to, you know, learn to decipher, you know, as we know ourselves, you know thyself, and then you realize that a lot of the stuff that they talked about, it's code for learning about the inner workings of your body. And, you know,
right.
Once we learn that, then, you know, we'll take that long journey on a short path, which is going inward. So, real simple concept.
Right.
You know, just a lot of people, you know, can't let go of their religious beliefs in order to move forward in information and knowledge.
Right. Another thing that was interesting about that to me is that I remember back in the day when we talked about the 666, and we learned that in the Greek, the word is Zane, and it actually, that number in Greek looks like a 7. And 777 is 21, and 21 is the number of I am that I am. You know, when Moses when Yahweh said to Moses, I am that I am, that number that correlates with that is 21. I actually put that in the book. But the whole concept of adults at 18 and 21. You're adult at 18 and you can't drink until you're 21, you know, in most places. I think you could drink at 18 in Louisiana, but I don't know any of the states in America where you could drink at 18. But, you know, the 666 and the 777, and of course 6 plus 7 is 13. That master number.
Right.
You know. And so I was just talking to a brother last chapter, and he was asking me about that, the cubit, and then, you know, of course, the 18 inches came out, with, and then the 666 came out, and then we got to talking about the 13, you know. So it was a real interesting dialogue, and you know, even more so, I just now with the questions that come, as the questions get better, it pull more things out of you, you know.
What's that? Say that again.
Yeah. I said the better the questions are, it pulls more information out of you, you know, because.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
You
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole lot, you know, when people, that's why, you know, it's important that folk ask questions on this show we got, because it helps us to not only help them, but it makes us go back and dig a little deeper and dig a little harder to try to get the information to be able to pass on to them, you know what I mean? And it makes us run across more information. Like, you know, when you said the 13, I don't know if you just heard me, but a minute ago, I'm like, I just shook my head, started laughing, because when you said the 13, I saw a car with, you know, the 13.1, you know, for the people that do the marathons, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I started thinking about it, and I said, well, a real marathon is 26 miles.
Mile. Right.
Right. Well, guess how many bones are in the feet?
26. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta ask yourself,
Right.
Yep, and we know, you know, 26, 13 is a multiple of 26, but it's like, you kidding me? Really? 26 bones, 26 miles?
Right.
Well, you have to start looking at stuff, you know what I mean? And you know, and that's what we mean, you know, when I said, you know, when they make us go and look for stuff, you know, it makes us dig, and then we start finding other little things out that we didn't previously know, and then we're able to share that with, you know, the listeners, you know, and then it gets them to a higher level of knowledge, you know what I mean, where they can, you know, show people, you know, different little things like that. And start to look for those other types of instances where things, you know, correlate, you know, they have that form of synchronicity. Or as we used to say, parallelism, you know.
Right. Yeah, can you explain synchronicity a little bit?
Oh, well, all it basically is for the simplest term, it's like where you can find the similarities in various things. So, say for instance, looking at Jesus being a widow's son, Hiram Biff being a widow's son, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man being widow's sons, you start to see, okay, that's synchronicity. They all have a similar characteristic. And so that must mean that there must be some relationship between these stories, because they all have a common theme, all of them being widow's sons. Why is it that all of them had parents that died? And that would be a form of synchronicity.
Right.
So just to keep it simple, you know, just looking at the commonalities in certain things.
Right.
That's
right.
All.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, coincidence, right? I was explaining to a sister. She said now that she's read the book in science, now she always looks up and she notices the clock at 11:11, you know, or she'll keep seeing certain numbers, or she'll see the archway in certain architecture all the time now. You know, and things of that nature. She'll see, she says she'll see Pythagorean triangles all the time now. You know.
Yeah. So that awareness has been brought to her, and now, you know what I mean, she's beginning to see, you know, the synchronicity in everything. And like I said, when you start to break down and learn those symbols, then you start to see them everywhere. Now you can't unsee them anymore. You know what I mean? Like the folk that start to recognize 11:11, 2:22, 3:33, 4:44, et cetera, you know, they start to see the synchronicity and everything, and they can no longer not see those numbers no more. My number is always 4:32. And I'm like, you know, you can, you know, and every time you look around, you know, you see that number somewhere.
Right.
So, once you start to awaken to these, this information, then, you know, you realize that how much has been around you the whole time, but you were, you know, you had taken the blue pill, so you didn't see, you know, what the red pill information was going to give you. Now that you've taken the red pill, reading your book, you know what I mean? Now that they're being able to see a lot more things
right.
that they've never seen before.
Right.
And it makes it, sometimes it's a gift and a curse, you know what I mean? A curse
right.
because now, you know, you can't always explain what you're seeing to people because they don't see what you see in it, and it makes it look like you're crazy. You know,
right.
and then the gift though
right.
is that, you know, you do see it. Now you see how you've been manipulated, yet they're using your information all around you. And so all you know you got to do now is just you start using your information to become successful like they started using your information to become successful.
Right, absolutely.
That's the beauty of it is, you know, once your eyes are awakened, you know, it's, or as the Bible says, you know, it was sweet to my tongue, but bitter to my stomach. You know what I mean? I liked it, you know what I mean? But then at the same time, now I'm responsible for these things, and I can't get people to see what they need to see. And it's frustrating.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the anger that most people have.
Yeah, especially when you become conscious. When you initially become conscious, be mad at the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Give me, hold tight 1 second, bro. I got bro Dirk and another sister trying to call in. Since that malfunction with the call, they can't get in, so I'm going to have to merge us with the conference number. Hold on.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm back, bro. So yeah,
okay.
Let me. I think Trey trying to get on, so I'm gonna have to text her the number. So if you're listening on the conference call, if you want to ask a question to add on, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm texting Trey now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bro. Sister that just came on, do you have any questions or anything you want to talk about?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so what's on your mind? I see you've been dropping a lot of videos lately.
Yeah, you know, people just been asking me questions, and then it's just certain things that I just decided to go ahead and get them out there, and because now that I'm about to start writing this next book, I'm going to be pulling away from social media as much as I possibly can. So, you know, people just been asking me different things, and, you know, the main thing is that trying to impress upon people, you know, that they really need to make sure that they become responsible for their own journey and stop listening to what everybody else tell them, because people will ask questions, and, you know, because it's so many of these characters out here that religion or whatever, once they learn certain things and they start bashing everything that's anti whatever it is they're gravitating towards, you know, they bash it and they become dismissive of everything. And, you know, my whole thing is to try to let brothers and sisters know that, you know, everything that you learn and everything that you experience, it got to be a part of whatever you was meant to come here and do. So how can you just discard whatever it was you was doing from the time that you was a baby until, you know, you got to this point now that you consider yourself conscious? Because it's like you have to realize that you was born at a specific time and place in a specific set of circumstances. For whatever reason, you were, you know, and if you're going to adhere to any kind of divine principle, divine law, universal creator, whatever you want to label it as, you know, you have to, you know, adhere to the fact that whatever it is you was meant to do and whatever it is you was meant to experience, you had to be doing it in the exact time that you was doing it to be at the point that you are now. You know what I mean? So how can you, you know, discard one part of your life because whatever it was that you was dealing with, it wasn't all bad, you know? And I think that's something that, you know, all of us probably wish we had somebody to tell us, you know what I mean, when we first becoming aware.
Yep, you're right. That is something that I wish somebody had prepared me for. You know what I mean? Because I was, you know, real angry and, you know, mad at the world, et cetera. You know what I mean? And then, like, yeah, I'm glad I lived long enough to change the tune and not be dismissive of religion, you know, the way a lot of these, you know, neophytes in the conscious community are. You know what I mean? But I definitely get why they're angry. But, you know what I mean, that's youthful exuberance, you know. But once they get older, then they'll settle down and realize that every experience, as you said, brought them to where they are today. So if they didn't have those experiences, then, you know what I mean, they wouldn't be at a level where they are today.
Right.
You know, then as they continue to live, if they continue to grow, then they'll see, you know what I mean, the error of their ways, and then they'll, you know, be able to chill and then take a more mature approach to the whole thing, you know.
Right.
I definitely don't bash people no more about their religious beliefs, you know, especially
right.
After I got to a certain level of understanding. It's like, I mean, religion is nothing but synchronicity. You know what I mean? Judaism is like Islam, it's like Christianity, it's like Hinduism, like Buddhism, like Mithraism, it's like all of it is the same. So how do I look bashing you when the essence of my own so-called religious beliefs is the same as yours?
Right.
You know what I mean? You say Jesus, I say Horus. You say Horus,
right.
I'll say Tammuz. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all the same stuff.
Right. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I said on the video. Like, you know, Jesus ain't just Heru. You know. His father, you know, Asar, that same story, you know, pertains to the Jesus story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure does.
Jesus was dealing with Mary and Martha. Osiris was dealing with Nebet and Aset. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Jesus was crucified, you know, in the underworld, went in the underworld for 3 days, which is 72 hours, and Osiris had 72 conspirators and his evil brother, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Jesus went in the underworld, and Osiris was the god of the underworld. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
Like, come on, man. Like, it's so many different ways to look at it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, to me, it's like now, it's even more fun to do the research, in the Bible, because it's like, in knowing the things in the Bible, once you start doing the comparisons throughout different religions or throughout different cultures, you know, you're going to get introduced to so many other things that you may have didn't know because of the fact that the people who been doing these lectures and the people who've been talking about these things for the amount of time that they've been talking about, you know, all they ever talked about it was from a surface level, and then all they want to ever say is that the person was black, you know, and that, you
right.
know, this was on the walls and these people were black, and this was a black man and that was a black man. And it's like, come on, man. You know,
yep, like I said,
why he never really got taught the real symbolism, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Once, as Pop taught us, he said, you know, once you get over marveling at how great you are, then I can, you know, do what I'm can give you what I came to give you. You know what I mean? And that's
right.
why a lot of those people are stuck at there. They just want to be happy with worshiping a black God. You know what I mean? Well, that's
right.
Okay. That's elementary to us now. You know what I mean? Because it's like
right.
okay, now it's so much better, bigger than that, than just worshiping a black God. You know what I mean? Now what else is there?
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, like we was talking about the spinal column, I was looking at the Jed pillar, and I realized how much the Jed pillar is, it looks like a chess piece on a chessboard.
It looks like a what?
A chess piece.
Oh, okay.
You know how they draw the Jed pillar? And they put the two arms on it. If you take the two arms off, it look like a chess piece. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And
what, the bishop?
Yeah, I think it is the bishop. and the pillar itself, it has those rungs in it. And between those rungs is actually 3 degrees.
Mm.
You know. So I was like, dang. I was looking at that like, wow. You know. So now I'm going to do some more research and try to figure out what those colors, the different colors in there mean. You know. I think I got an idea, but I just want to make sure I do some thorough research on it to try to figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And to me, that's the fun part as well, because it's so many, like, it's so much you can go try to research and find now, as far as like all of the information is just given to us, you know. It's just so many different resources that you can go look. And, you know, most of the time when I research one thing, I find out something else I didn't even know, you know, or two or three things I didn't even know or didn't even have an inkling of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it though. That's how you expand that vocabulary, expand that knowledge base.
Right.
You know what I mean? As you start to dig it, and then you know, you keep digging, then it leads you down this path and that path and that path and this path, and you start taking it, and you're like, man, this is a lot of information. But you know, you still be excited because you're like, you know, wow, I just learned this and I just learned that. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And even more so, like, we talk about, like, the hidden meanings in religion and everything that was talked about in the Bible or the Quran, and how those things were allegorical, all the things in ancient Egypt was allegorical. You know, the things in Native American culture was allegorical. So, you know, it's like the ancestors, you know, made people have to, you know, really sit at their feet and learn things. And, you know, some things were just given mouth to ear and was never put on the walls. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you know those things, how can you not be appreciative of the fact that, you know, even to really know what the Bible is about or the Quran is about, you really got to, you know, be diligent in trying to learn that, you know? So what we was given now is even more amazing because, you know, it takes some people 50, 60 years and they still don't really know what's the real meaning of what's in the Bible.
Right.
You know, and they dealing with that one book and, you know, they never really learn what that one book is about. You know?
You're right. That depends on, you know, how much of a student they really want to be, how much do they really want to learn. That's one of the issues is a lot of people don't want to, you know, really, really know a lot because, again, that would make them responsible.
Right.
You know, that's like right. that's like creating God and the devil, you know what I mean? To, you know, God, you pray to God to bring you things that you don't want to work for. Then when you do something wrong, you blame the devil because you don't want to take responsibility.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, being the God yourself and taking on the ownership of everything that happens to you.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, to the family that's listening, you know, some questions. Be great, family, because we don't even know how long this thing is going to be on before it cuts off. And what we don't want to do is manufacture, you know, hours worth of conversation. That's definitely not going to happen this evening.
Yeah, but I've been talking for the past almost 3 hours, so you know I'm about talked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, if they don't have any questions, then, you know, I mean, that must mean that they got it. So we don't, you know, ain't no need of us saying anything else.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to talk about before we get off of here, though, is I was talking about the alchemical wedding. And, you know, I put some of this in the book about the James Bond movie. He always had his vixen and he make love through every movie because that's the sun and the moon. And, you know, all of the relationship, Samson and Delilah, Adam and Eve, you know, all of those, you know, of course, they represent the alchemical marriage. But I wanted you to explain about the moon, the waxing and waning of the moon, and how the moon is absorbing that energy from the sun throughout the month and how it correlates with women and the cycles that the woman provides.
Well, if we know that the moon takes roughly 28 days to go around the sun. I'm sorry, to go around the earth.
Right.
And if you open up your hands and count those spaces between your knuckles, you have 14 on one hand and 14 on the other.
And these are called phalanges.
Right.
And so when the way a woman can predict, you know, when her body is working properly, the way a woman can predict her when she's ovulating is to just count those phalanges each day. So for the first 14 days after her cycle, she should start to ovulate for those women that are still fertile and giving birth. And that accounts for the so-called waxing period. That's when the moon is waxing and it's growing in strength and in light. Then it gets to what's called a full moon or a new moon. I'm sorry, a new moon. No, it goes to a full moon. And then is when she ovulates. Then the next time, for the next 14 days, is when the moon starts to wane, and is when she, the moon decreases in light and it decreases in influence over the planet as well as, you know, her body. And this is when the egg also starts to deteriorate for those next 14 days until we get to that new moon. And once we get to that new moon, for about 2 to 3 days, the moon is no longer visible in the sky. Sorry about that, y'all. The moon is no longer visible in the sky. So it becomes a different energy that's being perpetrated for those who are really in tune with the moon like that. So the sun will have always is going to have an effect, but you know, the moon has the same elliptical course as the sun, and the energy from that elliptical course has that effect on our bodies, especially women's, who are more in tune with the lunar cycle, because the lunar is more an emotional state, and women are, in a lot of cases, ruled more by their emotions than men are. So using your hands, again, you can pretty much count when you're going to be ovulating. You're on one hand, on your right hand, you can count. And then on your left hand, you know, after you reach the full moon, then you should be able to count when the moon is waning. And the fact that your egg will start to deteriorate, you know, and this will help you, of course, keep from either, if you're trying to make a baby or if you're not trying to make a baby, this will help you chart that course if you don't write it down, you know. So a waxing moon is always when the moon is on an upswing and is growing powerful and is getting more energy and it is giving out more light. And a waning moon is the next 14 days where the moon is is starting to decrease in light and in power and in energy. So that's the cycle as it's seen, as it's perceived. As far as the sun, you know what I'm saying? They're just going to show the light that's reflected from the sun. So when it's waxing, it's going to, or when it's, not only when it's waxing, but when it's a gibbous. Gibbous is when the moon is past the crescent, and you see like more than half of the moon. That's considered a gibbous moon. So it's going to reflect more light than, of course, a crescent moon will. So that's the science as far as I know. I don't know if there was something else you was looking for in that.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was waxing.
Waxing and waning. So waxing is increasing, waning is decreasing, And like I said, you know, for 14 days, there's, you know, you got both periods. You know, one where, you know, you're increasing and the egg is climbing up, you know, to be sitting up there waiting to be fertilized. And then if it doesn't get fertilized, then, of course, it starts to disintegrate and waning, and, you know, it starts to, you know, go on its destructive path and be waiting to be expelled from the body. So it's a, you know, the human body is basically a clock. You know, and you can start to set your cycle up, your body up, based off of the clock that's being manifest with your hands. Or, you know, like I said, with the 26 feet, 26 bones in your feet, you know, it's 26, it's 52, and multiply that by 2 is 52, so that's 52 weeks in the year, you know. So you can set your body up, or, you know, by knowing your body, you can, like you said, either try to get pregnant, try not to get pregnant, know when your cycle is going to come, know when, where the moon is and the effect that it's going to have on you. Because for those who are, you know, have depression in their bodies, or, you know, have depression, suffer from depression, they will be affected when there's a new moon. The new moon is when you look outside and you can't see the moon in the sky. That lets you know that there's a new moon. But the new moon is always after a waning period. If I went outside right now, I'd be able to tell you where the moon is, but I haven't been. I'm not outside right now, so I can't tell you whether or not it's a waxing or a waning moon right now. I know it's a crescent moon, but I didn't see which direction it was going to let you know whether or not it was waxing or waning. I think it's actually right. Waning. But,
it's waxing,
you know.
If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's waxing? Okay, cool. I'm glad to hear your voice.
I'm like, okay, I muted the phone. I kind of forgot how this line works, so I didn't know, and I didn't want to, you know, come in all loud. Or I muted my phone. So I'm following. Peace, everybody.
Peace. So, yeah, so I don't know. Well, Trey said it's a waxing moon. So if it's a waxing moon, then, of course, that's a good time to, if you're trying to grow your hair, but you got to cut it, then you always cut it when the moon is waxing. If you're trying to cut your hair, keep it short when you cut it, then do it when it's waning, because it won't grow as much, you know. So it's just a little simple science that our bodies are trying to, as it relates to the stars, is trying to show us when we're in tune with what's being told to us.
Hi.
Still ain't got nobody with no questions?
No, sir.
I can sure watch this Tampa Bay Atlanta game. Nobody wants to see what time is it. Yeah, 7 minutes. There ain't no question 7 minutes. We can shut this puppy down. I mean,
yeah,
we've been talking for an hour.
Yeah. We can, Les Sis got something, we can go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I have a question. Tell me, maybe I'm sure y'all should know more so than me.
Somebody got something going on in the background. Okay, go ahead.
There was this act, I can't remember the name of it, that was signed by, I know it came in with the Clinton administration, and a lot of people, not with the three strikes, but it was something as far as giving people life for like small drug cases. Not the three, like I said, it's not the three strikes. It was something like a terrorist act or something like that. Hold on. I don't know why my brain just went. But I had notes on it in my phone, my other phone. And it was pretty interesting to me because a lot of people are so you know, overjoyed for this broad, Hillary, and making it like, you know, okay, she's for us, and you're starting to see her in all these campaigns. But I'm just like, I don't even think people understand the effect that that family had with our people being incarcerated in such large numbers and getting ridiculously large sentencing.
Yeah.
So, because I've been looking at it for some months, like,
yeah.
I don't know when my brain went blank.
I think what you talking about is I think it was another crime bill that got passed when Clinton was in office, and what it did
it changed
the mandatory sentencing guidelines, you know. So basically what ended up happening is that with the way the bill was structured, they were able to change the way that they could use certain wording in the way they sentence people. So, like, when we talk about, like, one of my guys right now, he had a simple case of possession and trafficking. But now, because a whole bunch of people read it, and said, well, yeah, I know he was doing this and I know he was doing that, which is really hearsay. Now he facing a criminal conspiracy, and he facing basically like what they call a Mann Act or the RICO structuring, and those guidelines are way different. So because of those type of things, you got people actually getting life sentences for drugs.
Right.
Whereas before that, the only people that was really getting life sentences and stuff like that was people who killed people. You know, that was like before. If you go back and you look like in all the people who got those big kind of sentences back in the day, you know, it was people who they was like, you know, selling drugs or whatever. They had multiple homicides and things of that nature. But now you actually got people who have life sentences and don't have no bodies, just, you know, drugs. And it's because of hearsay, because people will say, well, you know, people say he was selling drugs, and they say that this person worked for him, killed this person, and all that type of stuff. And that person who supposedly did the murder may not even be alive no more, or, you know, may not even involved in the case, you know. So basically, you know, they did. I mean, the Clintons. What people have to realize about what they really did was they really mastered the whole pimp game of politics and how you could really do so much criminal shit and get away, really, you know. And anybody who could have incriminated them, they just got knocked off, you know. So they really like Bill and Hillary really should go down in history like the Genovese crime family, or, you know, Lucky Luciano or somebody like that. Like, they way more gangster than them people, you know, in my eyes, because they actually did it under the guise of, you know, the law. And they did it under the guise of actually being, you know, in the White House, like the president of the United States, a governor, you know. And Hillary was a senator. She's the Secretary of State now, and she's about to be the president. You know, like, that shit is crazy.
Right.
It's utterly, like, for real, it's just disgusting to me to even, you know, think about how many of our brothers and sisters are in prison for really just trying to feed their family, man, you know.
Yeah, all set up, it's really sick, because it was like, I'm just reading something that somebody sent to me about the actual first person who was to be hit with that. It's called the ADEPA, our ADEPA Act, if I'm not mistaken, our bill, and it came in at the, you know, the end of the Bush administration, and you know, that act and the VAT part with, and then Clinton, and this brother had gotten like 80 something years, but he just got it overturned recently. So he done did, let me see how many years. He did a long time. He was only 19.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this man is at this point now, what is he, 48? He was 19 when he was with this shit. And it was like nothing, two ounces of crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Small amount of money, like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But he just got clemency. He just got clemency. So he was the first person to be charged under that, for them to use that to give him the substantial amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't know, for like the last few months, I was looking into that and just looking into other little small things that have been done that has been devastating to us.
Right.
Really, you know, and it's just sick. And it's like they with them and they charades, it's like they had to put somebody very ridiculous and outrageous as Trump in the front, in the forefront, so that when it does happen, because they're going to smack us beside our fucking heads. They already have been, but they're about to really do it. Now people won't think it's so bad. You're like, well, if what's the nigga, Trump, if Trump was in, it would be way worse. It's kind of, you know, make people question what they about to hit us with. They think now, I mean, they're turning over a few things, so there's some light in a sense, but not really, because they're finna hit us with something even worse. And they have all the ends to our social life, and just, you know, people are very careless of what they say and get themselves caught up in a lot of stuff. So, I'm just sick. It's really, I mean, it's nothing that you can really do about it, because they're going to play the game the way they're going to play it. But it's just like people just, they don't even know. They don't even realize what this does, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to mention that because I know everybody is about to vote. So.
Yeah. Well, the most disgusting thing about it to me is this, and this is like, you know, I'm going to be in this book that I'm putting together. Y'all remember a movie called Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, I never watched it though.
Okay, so Marlon Brando was in that movie, the same Marlon Brando that played The Godfather. And in this particular movie, he played this figure that was in the movie, and the whole premise behind the movie was they were sending Martin Sheen in to kill him. And he was in a Vietnam area, and he was supposed to be a person in the military that went rogue. But truth be told, the story was really about a operations officer in the military named Tony Poe, who was helping the drug trafficking of heroin that was coming out of Asia into America. So that's the reason they put the punk shit together and put the American Gangster movie together, to make it seem as if it was really, you know, some other way that the drugs was coming into America from Asia.
Right.
And the whole
Frank
Frank Lucas story was a big fucking lie. And he, you know, they let him be the person that they used because he really was a rat. The other two big time brothers that was involved in that he basically took their story and put it in his story was two guys named Ike Atkinson and Frank Matthews. And all Frank Lucas, Ike Atkinson, and Frank Matthews was all from North Carolina. So what they did with the misinformation was to throw people off of what really was going on. And the movie Platoon and the movie Apocalypse Now are kind of interconnected with one another, and that's why Martin Sheen was in Apocalypse Now and Charlie Sheen was in Platoon, you know. But the real deal with the whole Vietnam War is that it was really about the heroin that they had in Asia. And what the United States did was, through the CIA, they trained a rebel army in Laos, which is a country, I think geographically is just north of Vietnam. And they basically trained 1 million soldiers, and then brought them into Vietnam, and that's really what started the war. And that's how America got involved in the Vietnam War. But the whole premise of them going over there was to go over there and to, you know, be able to really control the drug trafficking that was coming out of there. That's why they showed that the guy who Frank Lucas supposedly went and hooked up with over there in Asia, who was the real plug that was manufacturing the heroin, was, of course, a military officer. So, you know, that's how they be playing the game with these movies. But the thing about it is that this is the most disgusting shit about it to me, is that at the time that all of this was going on, who was the head of the CIA? George Bush Sr. And George Bush Sr. was really the president when Ronald Reagan was the president. We know he was old. He was a nut. Like, his last couple years in office, he had Alzheimer's and his brain was basically gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, George Bush Sr. was really the president then. So when you look at what really happened with the heroin, then the cocaine trafficking that was being controlled by the CIA, you know, coming in through Panama, which was, you know, the whole thing is why they went and stopped Pablo Escobar, and they went and stopped Manuel Noriega because they was becoming too wealthy and too powerful, you know. And it was actually another guy who was even bigger than Pablo Escobar, that this dude was so big and had so much money that his son caught a case in the United States, and he offered to pay his country's debt to the U.S. off. That's how much bread this dude had. So he was offering, like, he was like, if y'all let my son go, I'll send y'all $4 billion or something like that. You know, this is how much money this dude had. But all of this was being controlled coming into the country by the CIA. And the thing about it is so disgusting and it's so crazy when you really look at all the implications is that we talk about MENA, Arkansas before on the call and all of these hundreds of millions. Like, it was hundreds of millions of dollars of drugs that was coming in to MENA, Arkansas when Bill Clinton was the governor. And the dude got caught up, I think his name was Barry Seals. He was the major drug trafficker that was basically connected to the CIA that was flying the planes in and was basically bringing the drugs to what just so happened to be a CIA base that was in Arkansas. And this place called MENA, they had basically an airstrip in which they was trafficking the drugs in to Middle America. So, you know, like, when you look at it, that's a perfect place to be like a hub because, you know, in Arkansas, you're not that far from Chicago, Detroit, all these places in the Midwest, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you're not that far from Texas, you know what I mean? So they was bringing all these drugs in at the time, and this was before the plug was in Mexico. And this is what, you know, is so crazy about all of this that I'm explaining. When you look at how the drug trafficking changed, and after the crack era, the drug trafficking started going to Mexico, and all of the drug trafficking started coming into America from Mexico because what happened was, you know, the people in Panama was getting too powerful. They was making too much money. When you got black, brown, or yellow, or red people that's making too much money, you got to find a way to neutralize that. And now that's what they're doing now in Mexico, where you see them seizing everything and they going after people like El Chapo and they trying to shut all of the stuff down now with the drug trafficking that's coming into the United States through Mexico. You know, the thing about all of this, though, is that the people who was responsible for all of this shit ended up being the people who were the presidents for 28 years in a row. Because, like I said, Bush was really the president for 12 years because the two terms of Reagan and then the next 4 years when he was the president, you know what I'm saying, that was 12 years. Clinton was the president for 8 years, and then George Bush Jr. was the president for 8 years after Clinton. So you talking about the commander-in-chief of the country, you know what I mean, and they are involved with drug trafficking, man. And what are all of the brothers and sisters in our community, in the Mexican community, you know, that's going, or the Latino community as a whole, where are they going to prison for? You know. So that's what's so disgusting about it to me. Like, it just, when you learn this type of shit, it's just so fucked up, because you talking about the person who's the president, man. You know, and now the Clintons finna be back in there. That's what's so crazy about the whole situation. And truth be told, my theory about the whole thing with Barack Obama is that I really and truthfully think that they wanted it to be Hillary the last time, but I think that Barack was just too smooth, too cool, and the people was loving him too much. You know?
I missed that part. What'd you say, bro?
I said I think that, truth be told, they really wanted Hillary to be the president when Barack ran. But I just think that Barack was just too, you know, polarizing of a figure. I think he was just too charismatic and too well-loved, because I literally remember seeing them at a debate, and every time she tried to talk, the people in the audience just started booing. And when Obama would talk, everybody would go crazy, you know. So I really think that, you know, that's what they was trying to do, because, you know, it just makes sense to me if they got they operation down like that, and they moving all them drugs and they making all the money. Because, I mean, that's the biggest moneymaker around the world is drugs. You know, like on the legally and on the black market. When you talk about like the pharmaceutical industry, you know, I'm talking about like literally I work, you know, in that field, you know, as far as the company I work for. And I'm telling you, like, I'm looking at the bottom line of the money that some of these pharmaceutical, and these not even the people who manufacture the drugs in the pharmaceutical industry. These are just companies that have pharmacies. And I'm talking about they are actually, you know, generating, you know, sometimes $5 million a day in revenue. You know, that's easy for some of the bigger chains, you know, like the Walgreens and the CVS and stuff like that. They making way more than that. Just imagine what kind of money is being made on the black market by the people who are really, you know, controlling the drugs, the people who got the planes and the boats, you know. They making billions and billions of